This morning, we're in the work session, carried over from yesterday, Senate Bill 5522, the PUC. We're ready to go into work session on this bill. Sue McGlashan of LFO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. Yesterday, when we ran out of time, we were talking about Package 103, and I just wanted to make sure that all the members had their questions answered yesterday and not give them an opportunity to re-ask any questions they get answered.
Representative Schrader.
Thank you, sir. I had a question just didn't get a chance to ask, of course, of some of the rest of the discussion on the ALJs and how they work with the departments. And is there any discussion about making them a little more independent of the department than they currently are?
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, we didn't have that discussion yesterday.
Is there any further discussion on package 103? Okay. The next package is 105, safety engineering.
And yesterday we were looking at the utility program on the spreadsheet that I passed out for you, and that's where package 105 is. And this package adds two utility analysts to enable the PUC to meet increasing demand for safety and engineering services. And the agency has reported that currently staff are not able to keep up with the inspections necessary to ensure that the utilities are complying with safety standards, and they are behind in their routine inspections for electric and gas utility operators. And since the early 1980s, the number of staff in this area has remained constant. They have five FTEs in that area. And with restructuring and competition, there's been a growth in the number of utility operators, and the growth is expected to continue. Specifically in the natural gas area, the consumer base has climbed 91% since 1982. The number of operators has increased 30%. The miles of main in Oregon have increased 21%. And from 1990 to 97, natural gas leaks due to excavation damage on mains has increased 63%. And with deregulation of the natural gas industry, again, the increase in growth is expected to continue. And there's concern that inexperienced operators may come online and may not know about safety regulation. And this will require additional education and compliance resources. There's a federal staffing formula that is used to determine the number of staff that are required for the gas pipeline safety program. And for Oregon, it is determined to be 2.9 FTE. And currently, the commission has two gas pipeline inspectors. But one of those is devoted primarily to the Oregon Utility Notification Center, which was set up by the 1997 legislature. So that really gives them effectively one FTE to do these inspections, and they're about two FTE short, which is what they're asking for in this package. And the state liaison for the U.S. Department of Transportation's Western Region Pipeline Safety Program, in a letter to the Commission's utility program manager, cited that Oregon has a very lean program in relation to the infrastructure, and there is a danger of the Commission losing the federal funding that it receives if it doesn't add additional staff. So the LFO is recommending approval of this package.
Okay. And the next item is package 106, outside services.
106, as you heard from the commission, is a package that was provided to the limitation for the PUC to contract for services associated with restructuring the electric utility industry. This package accomplishes two things. First, it avoids bringing on permanent staff for an issue that will not stay around and may go away in a couple of years. And second, the commission feels that it doesn't have the staff experience in the area of asset auctioning, and it believes that expert advice that it could obtain from outside services would ensure that customers receive the full benefit entitled to them, and that is that assets are auctioned at their maximum market value. And you heard from the commission that they believe that there is enabling legislation that's required in order for them to continue with this process. And so what I'm recommending that to the subcommittee is that you go ahead and approve this policy package, but that you request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the limitation until the enabling legislation passes, and also that the commission provides to the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Department of Administrative Services more information on the services that would be contracted and things like the amount and perhaps a contract with the entity that would be providing the services. And I believe Representative Butler had a question on whether or not the PUC could require PGE to pay for a consultant as a condition for...
Add a response there.
Okay.
From the commissioner for Representative Butler, it would take a statutory change to achieve what you were asking about yesterday. So that's a response to your question. I want to thank Commissioner Aikens for giving the response as well. Okay. Now the next item, do we hold it over 107, the increase? Because it's dealing with item 105.
Mr. Chair, that is a package that would simply allow the agency to spend additional federal funding that it's getting for the gas pipeline safety program, and there's a corresponding reduction in their other funds expenditure limitations.
So it's just a fund transfer from general fund to federal funds?
Mr. Chair, from other funds to federal funds.
Okay, all right.
And LFO recommends that you do that request. If you turn to the back of that page for the utility program, you'll see that I've got an adjustment there of $30,216 is the reduction for the AGCs, and this is based on the public safety subcommittee's action to reduce the AG hourly rate from $92 to $90.
Okay. You've heard the recommendation of LFO.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Representative Starr.
I would move the LFO recommendation.
Sure. Go to order, sir.
Yes, Representative Schrader.
Okay, one more.
We have three more packages to cover.
Well, I was going to take them separately.
I see. Okay.
Okay. If there's no objection, the committee will adopt the LFO recommendations on Policy Package 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, and 107, and we haven't got to 107 yet.
We got to 107, Mr. Chair. We didn't get to 104 yet. That's another
decision. Okay, let's wait on 104 and 108. We'll wait on those. Is there any objection if we approve that discussion?
I'd just like to say something real quick.
Yes, Representative Patrick.
I will support the motion at this point, because my understanding is we're not suspending this bill for the full committee.
We are going to finish it today, place it on the shelf at the request of co-chairs,
right,
subject to some additional changes and review of what the subcommittee's action is. So, although it's being worked today, the intent is to embrace as much of it in the final form as possible, with the final recommendation coming from the co-chairs.
And Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say I still have substantial reservations about this budget in terms of the amount of money that's being unscheduled. There's over $1.5 million that it looks like in terms of going over it with the agency yesterday and looking at what's been going on. Nobody's given me an answer about what happens when it's unscheduled. Are we still collecting dollars from utility ratepayers when we have these things unscheduled? And if the purpose of the PUC is to, you know, is is to protect consumers. I think it's incumbent upon us to protect consumers as well. I need some explanation, but I will vote in favor of this at this point, but I may not vote in favor of the full committee at a later point.
Cindy.
Mr. Chairman, when the $175,000 is unscheduled, is the SKU included in the budget amount? The total amount?
It's in the total amount, but it's not allowed to be spent until they come back and report, and DAF reschedules the money.
I see. Another question.
Yes.
So what is the bill number related to the $175,000?
Senator, there's no specific bill related to it. The agency and staff, I'll have them provide more details for you, but they believe that there is a need for enabling legislation for them to proceed, and that enabling legislation has to do with the electric industry restructuring.
That's
1149.
That was the comment that was made. If 1149 passes, then they feel they're going to have this additional workload.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. If 1149 or other legislation that the commission has introduced to allow us to proceed with the PGE restructuring decision, then we believe we would have an auction process that we would have to oversee. If it does not pass, then it's entirely likely that PGE will not proceed with the auction process. The auction process currently is in the context of restructuring to provide direct access. We cannot do that without statutory authority.
Okay. Is there any, Representative Schrader?
I'm just unclear why we're excluding the one, basically the only other package that has any dollars attached to it.
We'll get to it momentarily.
That doesn't increase my comfort level, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'm trying to take as many of the package at one time as we can. Okay. And it's not a means of excluding anything.
Okay.
It's just one.
Yes, Senator Lynn.
$175,000. Is it possible, instead of funding coming out of here, that the PGE, could they take away the percentage of the sales they are making? Or do we need to introduce a new bill to do that?
Well, Senator, I asked that question yesterday. The question I asked was the impact on the customer and who is paying for this. It comes out of about 1 cent per customer per year to pay for this $175,000. So if you look at that, it's pretty minimal. I thought it was more than that, but it's pretty minimal when you think that the average customer pays about 1.5 cents per year for this disposal of these assets. So it's pretty minimal when you spread it out across the board of all the utilities. Mr. Akers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We also estimated that if, by virtue of having this expertise, that if this expertise could even result in an additional 1%, up to 1% additional higher market value than might otherwise be the case, it would save PGE ratepayers up to $4 million, because we were dealing with approximately $400 million worth of assets here. It may also have benefits to specific power ratepayers in the sense that this is the first rate case we are going, or first case we are going through in restructuring, but if the 1149 passes, restructuring will occur in, we will have other parts of the industry looking at this process. So we often go through a case with one utility that's the first of its kind, but what we do in that case then lays groundwork and a basis for other cases and other utilities. So in that sense, there is some benefit to other ratepayers. But it's basically still our general cost of doing business. It's just a cost we don't know that we'll need to have unless 1149 or something else passes.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Is there objection to adopting these recommendations of LFO? If not, it's been so approved. LFO, you have three more proposals.
Thank you. The next page on the transportation program, that was simply provided to you because there were some actual expenditures from 95, 97, so to make sure everything balanced, that page has been included, but there's nothing to discuss there.
Ms. Chairman, are we on page two?
Yes, actually it's page three.
Page three.
Yeah.
This is on transportation, okay.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to take the RFPS.
Oh, okay.
And there are no packages, no policy packages in this program, but I am recommending some of scheduling, so I did want to talk to you about that. And there have been some revisions to the governor's budget due to the lower cost for the relay contract. And that reduction in the contract is $677,199. And the LFO is recommending that you approve that reduction. And there's also a small reduction of $224 for the reduced AG hourly rate. And this budget includes limitations for some of which are listed up on this chart here that the commission has provided. Among those are the presumed passage of Senate Bill 297 and some anticipated growth in the Oregon Telephone Assistance Program and some contingencies that are dependent upon federal action. And to the extent that these are uncertain, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that the subcommittee unschedule $1,015,600 other funds. The rescheduling of $210,000 would be contingent upon passage of Senate Bill 297, and then the rescheduling of the remaining $805,600 would be contingent upon the Public Utility Commission providing information to DAF and to LFO that the contingency such as federal action and growth in the Oregon Telephone Assistance Program have occurred and that there's need for additional expenditure limitations.
Okay.
Then if we go on to page five, that's the Policy and Administration Program. And there are three packages in this program. The first one is Package 102, and this is for some reclassifications of staff. There are three. The first one is for the hearings officer, who actually is the supervisor for all the hearings officers in that division, in the administrative hearings division. And a DAF salary survey had determined a certain level for the hearings officers and then approved a reclassification for the supervisor based on the relationship of that position to the positions that it supervises. And so I'm recommending that you go ahead and approve that. There are two other reclassifications in that package, and basically these two employees have been receiving work out of class compensation for 2 years, and based on information that the commission has provided to LFO, it does not appear that the duties are going to go away, and so there's a need for a reclassification of these two positions to bring them in line with what they're actually doing. And this would result in an increase of $121 per month in one case and $199 per month in another case. And those are equivalent to about a one-step increase. There's no additional cost to the commission for these packages because they will absorb savings from other areas in the budget, one area being the differentials that they're paying to these employees now since they're out of class. And so LFO is recommending that you approve that package.
It's concerns me that there's this much wiggle room in the budget. that we can absorb all these positions and reclassifications, everything without increasing the cost. It either shows me that the budget came in very inflated to begin with, or that we're granting some additional spending authority here for something that can be done in-house. Representative Patrick?
Yeah, that was my concern as well. That's why I asked for the rebalance piece. They had a over $4 million ending fund balance at the end of the, or that's the predicted, I guess, ending fund balance at the end of the biennium. That's pretty substantial compared to, you know, what their budget is. So it's over 10% ending, 10% ending fund balance. When they're doing their thing, I'm not sure where the money's going to these programs.
I thought we had testimony the other day about how there was some overestimation last session as far as their needs based on deregulation and all these things that were happening and some other things. So I think that's the reason, and hopefully I'm glad to see the agency coming back in and not asking for more money, because if they, there's further estimates were not accurate, that they're now using that money to explore positions. So it may actually be a good thing.
Yes, Ms. LeBlanc.
That's correct. We did have that testimony of Representative Schrader, and part of the reason for what may appear to be excess limitation is, I believe this was mentioned the other day, when the transportation portion was moved to ODOT, there was some question as to how that would impact the agency's budget. And this biennium is the first time that they have not had the transportation section in their division. And so I think you're seeing some effect from that. And also, most agencies will have one-time costs during any biennium. And sometimes when we go through a budget, we eliminate those one-time costs. But if the agency can establish a need in another area for that limitation, we also take a look at that. So if I could just provide that information to you. And then on the ending balance, most agencies are, it is recommended by GAAP, and it is just prudent fiscal policy that you have a sufficient ending balance, and DAS recommends at least a three-month ending balance. And if you look at the commission's expenditures on a monthly basis, they spend about $1.25 million based on the governor's budget per month. So a three-month ending balance would be $3.75 million. Now, that recommendation of 3 months by DAS is a minimum, and it also doesn't take into account unknowns. So if there is a compensation package that is approved and there are salary increases, if there are simply things that you cannot estimate, you know, you have to take that into consideration so that you don't wind up putting an agency in a fiscal crisis. So I believe that this ending balance is a prudent ending balance.
Representative Bowser?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The statute provides that the fee payable by each utility and telecommunications utility within the state would be shall not exceed 0.5% to 1% of such utility or telecommunication utility gross operating revenues derived from within the state for the preceding year. Do you know what our current rate is? Is that
Mr. Chairman,
I believe it's at the statutory limit right now.
We are maxed out, and there's no additional funds that they're requesting. So.
Correct. And I would point out, too, what the agency mentioned the other day is that the revenues that are coming in for this biennium are actually about $3 million lower than what was originally anticipated. So that would need to be subtracted from the ending balance that you're looking at. And also there's a significant question with the possibility of deregulation, what's going to happen to the utility's revenues and how that will affect
the agency and how much they can collect and what the rate should be. So there are some unknowns out there in terms of what the rate on the utilities should be, what the assessment should be.
Okay. All right. The last proposal?
Two more.
Okay.
Package 104 is a package for the consumer services and administrative hearings section. And this package, although it requests the establishment of 7 positions, I would point out to you that this is work that is already being done, and it's being done through overtime, temporary staff, and job rotations, which necessitate backfills in the agency so that all the work that can be done. I want to talk in a lot of detail about this package unless you have some questions, but again, this is at no cost, no additional cost in the budget. It would be absorbed by the agency. And again, it has looked at its budget. It's looked at where it will not have one-time expenditures that it has incurred, just by any areas where that it could generate some more savings, and also taken expenditure limitation out of overtime and differentials that it's currently paying and temporary appointments.
Can I ask right there, Susan, what the cost is of absorbing that, and then what the roll-up cost is in the next budget? In other words, they may be able to absorb it this time, but then next session they'll be in there with a possible pay increase to pay what we approved this time.
If you turn to page 96 in the budget document, it shows you right now. And it takes you the total cost there.
$361,001.
Sure, it's actually $447,520.
Okay.
And then there are some savings in those categories that you see listed there that are the numbers are in parentheses. And then down below, under services and supplies, some more savings.
Commissioner Ingalls, how would you expect to fund that in future biennium? You can fund it by absorbing the cost this time, but somewhere along the line in the next budget cycle, it's going to appear as additional costs when you add the roll-up costs.
Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, I would assume that if it is part of what would be the legislatively approved budget for this biennium, in future bienniums, assuming the same staff levels, that the adjustments that we would ordinarily get for inflation and everything else would cover those additional costs, and it would not. That's my assumption as to how it would be covered, just as any existing FTE positions, additional costs for the future would be covered.
Mr. Chair, if I may add something, we have projected for the cost these positions out, as well as all the other positions within PUC, and also projected out the revenue that we'd be receiving for a number of years in the future, and it shows that we do have sufficient revenues to cover the cost.
Well, I don't question that, Rick. What I do question is, you have the power to absorb it now, and you would then say you have the power to absorb it in future biennium as part of your base budget.
Yes, sir.
And still wind up with the $4 million ending balance.
Sure.
At the end of the biennium, you're going to wind up with a $4 million balance. 3.75.
Members of the committee, I'm not sure that we could exactly say what the ending balance is going to be, but we would end up with a...
It seems like you're moving a lot of people around within this budget, and I think that's the question that Representative Patridge is trying to get to, is how do we justify moving all these positions around in this budget and absorbing this and having it show up over here as a cost? That's the question I think the representative has been trying to ask. Is it? Yes.
I'm not sure we're moving any positions around. What we are doing is taking temporary positions and overtime that we are paying now, and under the two expectations, one, that workload will continue, and two, that the budgets in the future and the revenues and the ending balance will be sufficient to absorb the cost ongoing costs of permanent employees. What we are doing is taking the employees that are currently doing this job, for the cost for employees that are currently doing this job, and making them basically in an FTE position. So the costs are being incurred because we have had to incur the cost in order to keep the workload, and we had the cost, we had the dollars in our budget. So what we're really doing here is taking these positions and these costs and making them instead of temporary, with the expectation that the workload is going to continue, we're making them permanent. And as Mr. Willis explained, we did that on the basis of projections that indicated our future budgets would be able to absorb, as part of our budget, the accommodation of making those permanent positions. What we're really doing here is not adding any dollars. We're adding FTE. We're already spending the dollars. We already have people doing the job.
Is there any questions or discussion on this? Mm-hmm. With that, Ms. McGlashan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last package is Package 108, which is expenditure limitation for the agency so that it can receive the money and the money that it gets from the Land Use Board of Appeals for administrative support provided to River, which is housed in the PUC building. And PUC and MUBA have an interagency agreement to that PUC will provide certain services to MUBA. And since the time of the governor's, when the governor's recommended budget was put together, MUBA has reforecasted its need for services from PUC. And so when the Natural Resources Subcommittee worked the MUBA budget, they reduced the package in MUBA's budget. $25,000, and so I'm recommending that you do the same with this budget here. And if you turn to the back of this page, you'll see some additional adjustments that I'm recommending, one of which is related to the reduction in the Attorney General hourly rate, and that's a reduction of $823. And then in looking at the agency's current expenditure pattern, in this biennium, in 1997-99, I'm making a recommendation that you reduce some excess limitation out of this budget, and that would be $129,955. If I just recap the budget for you then, the LFO recommended budget is a 4.7% increase over the 97-99 legislatively approved budget versus the governor's recommended budget, which is a 7.7% increase. If the agency does not have a need for all of the expenditure limitation that would be unscheduled, the budget is actually a 1% decrease from the 1997-99 legislatively approved budget. And this agency, because it's not a general fund agency, was not required to come up with 4% reductions. But I would point out to you that the decreases that I'm recommending total about 3%. If, again, the agency doesn't need the additional expenditure, the expenditure limitation that's been unscheduled, it would be an 8% reduction.
Okay. You've heard the discussion and presentation by LFO on the remaining three decision packages. Is there further discussion?
Yeah.
Representative Butler.
We have a concern in deregulatory times and the potential of some scaling down of some of the potential enormous profits that have been specified through being made out in the industry out there that have to be scaled back through the return on equity ratio. if you're already at a maximum charge of 0.25% of the gross revenues, then the gross revenues have to be controlled because of the limitation factor that we've got on these monopolies. How this agency will stay alive in the future if they don't increase the rate. Is there some indication that they're asking for any increase of rate somewhere in other legislation?
And it would take a statutory change for that rate to increase. So it would have to be approved by the legislature.
2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
So at that particular point, unless something else were to happen, with the decline in revenues, or the revenues holding constant because you can't increase the income at that point, then it appears to me that they'll work themselves out of a cash position at all.
Sufficient ending balance.
Well, and I'm not trying to make a case against a sufficient ending balance. My concern is that either you slow the growth of the agency down. We can't increase income unless Oregon grows immensely and has huge increases in gross revenues, even though the net revenues cannot increase. And I don't see either of those kinds of things. So the only other option available to us, with no proposal, and we're already maxed out at 0.25% of the statutory requirement, with no proposal of huge growth and increase in the statutory amount, then the only thing we can do is demand that they become much, much, much more efficient within this department.
Mr. Chair and Representative Butler, there are a lot of unknowns out there in terms of the effect of deregulation on the agency. And one of the things that could happen is there would be less the need for certain staff, in which case they would have to reduce their staffing. But until we get into that whole process, I don't believe that you can predict it, and that we have to look at what's currently happening and how the statute's currently, what the current statutes are, and operate under those assumptions. But you certainly raised some good points, but I don't think we can predict what's going to happen at this point. But again, the agency does have sufficient ending balance, and I believe that if there is a decrease in the utilities revenues and therefore a decrease in the assessments that the commission collects, they'll be able to achieve.
Mr. Chair, my comment is directed to the fact that I do not want to see this agency come back to the emergency board and say, oh goodness, we've overspent here, here, and here, and we won't have any ending fund balance now. We'll actually have expended ourselves into the red, and will you please help us out of general fund? I just have a real issue there.
Mr. Chair and Representative Butler, first of all, they couldn't send down their ending balance because they're restricted to whatever expenditure limitation that you give them, and what's being proposed now, that would preserve an adequate ending fund balance.
In all due respect, that contemplates that gross revenues will continue to increase or at least stay the same. And then a deregulatory environment, it may well be that those start to drop off. And so if they continue with their expense level, and which we have as an appropriations body the right to go ahead and say you can continue with that, but the revenue resource level is not there.
I don't believe that as their revenues come in, if they were drastically reduced, that they would continue to spend at that level, but I don't want to speak for
them. Mr.
Chairman, members of the committee, if we don't have the revenue, we don't have anything to spend. We'd have to make adjustments in it, in the budget. We have no statutory authority. to use other funds. We have no statutory authority to raise it above the level. It is our expectation. There are some uncertainties out there. It's our expectation that because the biggest uncertainty, I think, was already dealt with when it was on the electric side, in that we changed the basis from dollars of gross revenue to a per kilowatt hour basis. It felt that would hold us harmless, and it's actually become a model for some franchise fee discussions as well, because they face a similar situation. And that we think the 25.025 is sufficient for the next biennium. There may be some changes. I think that the association between the gross revenues and the so the return on equity and the regulatory decisions is the wrong association, but I don't think it's worth going into that. I never maintained either that the utilities were making enormous profits. I only maintained they were making sufficient profits to reinvest in their network.
Okay. Sir? Yes, Representative Starr.
I knew the LFO recommendations as far as the RSPF budget and policy administration budget and policy packages 102, 104, and 108.
Representative Starr moves the policy package 102, 104, and 108, and the remaining LFO recommendations. Is there a discussion? Representative Schrader, you had your hand up a moment ago.
I'm fine with it.
We're fine with it. Okay. Is there further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. There's two budget notes.
I know. We'll do that next. If there's no further discussion, the motion is to adopt the LFO recommendation on the budget.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, I've sat on this committee and the other committee in terms of demeanor of people who testified in agency heads. Mr. Hughes, I don't appreciate you laughing at representatives when they're doing things. I don't think the manners are very professional. I think, holding your head and laughing at representatives when they're trying to get an answer is not professional and doesn't behoove you well before me or other members of the committee. I'd like you to know that.
Okay. Two budget notes. Ms. McGlashan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And if you'll turn to the back side of the one-page handout that was given to you yesterday, it has approved the two following budget notes.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
The first one has to do with the agency reporting to the emergency board by April of 2000 on the status of court cases involving utilities. And what I'm recommending is that the report by the commission include a description of the parties to the lawsuit, the issues involved in the court cases, and the attorney general costs to date. And then upon reporting to the emergency board and upon submission by the commission to LFO and GAF, the biennium to date AD costs, and then the suggestion of needs for additional expenditure limitation for the remainder of the biennium, those AD costs you've agreed to and schedule in the amount of $390,816 would be rescheduled, except to the extent that not all of that is needed, we would only reschedule what is actually needed based on the information that the agency submits. The second budget note has to do with the RSPS program, and that requires the commission to report to the emergency board no later than April of 2000, and again no later than September of 2000 on the measures that it has taken to achieve cost containment in the three programs within the RSPS program, and that would be on the Oregon Telephone Assistance Program, the Oregon Telecommunications Relay Service, and the Telecommunications Devices Access Program.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
On the second budget note, I would like to see them report on cost containment measures they have taken and measures that they propose for next session in case statutory changes are needed.
I don't have any objection. If the committee would approve the amendment by Senator Yee to the second budget note that would require a report towards the end of the biennium or the end of the interim to the e-board with anticipation of recommended legislative change for 2001.
Mm-hmm. So it includes both what they have achieved
yes.
and what they propose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there further discussion? Representative Starr now moves that we adopt the two budget notes as recommended by LFO. Is there further discussion? If not, it's so approved. And the bill goes on the shelf, waiting the direction by the co-chair, and then we'll bring it up for final work session probably the next week. Sure. Representative Patrick.
Sure. I'd be interested about what the show was one last time the agency was audited for both the financial audit as well as a management kind of audit. And if you could give me that information, I don't need to have it written in, but I'd like to know that because I will tell the rest of the committee I may propose a budget.
Okay. Representative Beck.
Okay. I have an alternative perspective for Medford, but I'm kind of impressed with the information we're getting from DC, not just from the committee, and I've earlier some budget issues in the balance of the budget that I think Representative Patrick has been covered, but overall what I hear in this building is that this commission and are some of the brightest people we have in our state agencies, and they're providing us good information. It's a tough, complicated regulatory world and that they're working in, and my impression from this discussion we've had is that we've been getting good responses and they're doing a good job, and I don't have any big complaints.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if Representative Passage would like to meet, I'd be happy to meet and go over with you the discrepancy that you're concerned about. I believe I have some information that will answer your question.
Okay, is there further discussion? If not, we are adjourned until 8 a.m. Monday, and I believe we're back on ODOT on Monday.
Thank you.